Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. All right, so if part one was the journey, this is where we start putting the structure to it. Because everything Anya went through, the confidence, communication, figuring it out on the fly, that's not random. That's actually a way to teach it, build it, develop it over time. And honestly, this is the part that's missing for most players. So now let's start this chat and head to the pitch. Now let's fully dive into what Captain University is. So what is the vision and goal that you have for when you approach an organization from a team or a coaching or a school organization? And give me a little bit of detail of who you're working with, because at the end of the day, I think that's important to know.
So Captain University really aims to empower leaders to have the opportunities to feel confident when they see and look at these areas to step into these roles. And so for us, our vision is to impact 1 million leaders by 2027, which is coming up upon us quite closely here. We're well on our way there. When we're approaching a team, I think a big thing is making sure that not only the coach, but the team has that aspect and that ability to want to learn and take on some of those next elements. And it's a really fun process to go through, because I think it's one of self-discovery, where we get to find out a little bit more about ourselves and who we are as leaders. And then moving into more of the bigger pieces that you would think comes with being a leader or a captain or a leader on a team that maybe doesn't have the armband. So I think that's a little bit about the mission and the vision for the organization. We're currently working in the collegiate space and in the youth space. So a lot of collegiate teams, captains typically will work with the coach to be able to help disseminate this information to the student athletes, and then working with the student athletes directly. Additionally, we have a few different programs. We have an individual program, and then we also have a team or a group captain program. And so I think those two different elements help to disseminate the three main pillars that we have of Captains University, which one is clarity. And I talked about a little bit that self-discovery piece, understanding who you are. And we do that through a leadership assessment that helps you to find your leadership style. Then we go through a communication course. Really, how do we communicate in these moments that are most crucial? There's going to be times where you're going to need to take some of those next steps, and it's not going to be perfect all the time, but how do we give you some tools so that you are really confident and more successful when those challenges do come up? And then finally, we go through a confidence pillar. And that's really the confidence to overcome a lot of the challenges that you have in from a leadership role. We talked about a couple of them earlier in terms of holding our teammates accountable, but also leading different personalities, someone that maybe has a different viewpoint than you do, or a different way of approaching a problem. Or finally, that fear of overcoming letting the team down. And I think that's the biggest one for leaders, and the biggest one that we've seen in our research at Captains University is, how are we overcoming the fear of letting others down with the decisions that we're making? And a lot of times we get that paralysis analysis of not wanting to make a decision because we're afraid of what the repercussions are for our team. And so being able to help them through that, I think, is a really powerful piece as well. So those are the three different pillars that we typically go through. And then at the collegiate space and the youth level, we have some online courses that will take you through those. Additionally, we do Zoom sessions and in-person sessions, depending on the coach or the program or the club, high school, university that we're working with.
So what age or what groups do you find this to be the most beneficial for? Is it beneficial across the board, or do you find it to be more impactful for, I'm going to say, the 15, 16-year-olds that are listening to your program versus the collegiate level player that might be getting help? Because at the end of the day, I think all of our intake and all of our understandings, we're missing a lot of foundational parts of our growth as humans. I'm not just saying athletes, I'll say humans across the board. Sure. Do you find when you start impacting those younger athletes earlier, and if you possibly have had them repeat in the collegiate world or later on with another organization, do you find that their leadership style has a rapid rate of success? Or I honestly don't know much about this world because it's such a new, I'll probably say more of a new and upcoming market, because it is a lacking industry. It's missing in our culture and in the industries around the world. We normally hear about it at corporate America at the very high levels, not at the youth athlete level.
I believe that when we're looking at it from the complete perspective of our human development, the earlier that you can do it, the better. The earlier that you have the tools, the better. Typical age range, I would even say, might be a freshman in high school to the senior in college. And so it's a pretty wide age range, but I think everyone's in a different area of their life where they're able to apply it in a way that makes them really effective. And so at the younger age, the earlier that we have some of these tools to be able to implement with our team, ultimately you have a lot more time to practice them than maybe if you start out in the collegiate space. So I think whether you're in a youth program or you're in the collegiate space, the programming is definitely going to help you in the long run, no matter where you start out. I think one of the really interesting ones for me, I guess, if I share an example of a player in the collegiate space, maybe they went through the program with their team for 3 years and then they became a captain during their senior year. And for me to see their growth over time, especially with them retaking the leadership assessment and how maybe they've grown in the lead by voice category, which I think a lot of times for players is something that is really scary for us. One, I don't know what to say. Maybe I'm not sure how my teammates will take this. Will they actually listen to me? And I think there's two different areas of communication. There's one where it's on the field. And when you're on the field, it is really around, how am I someone that's talking consistently? That's really that practice piece, right? I have to be a good communicator on the field. Off the field or outside of competition, there's a lot of different things and challenges that go on. So how can we give them tools in those areas? So it's fun to see, after 3 years of going through the program, fourth year, someone becomes a captain at their school, how much growth that they've had in terms of utilizing and implementing the tools over those years, and the type of leader that they become when they're actually donned the C or the captain's armband at that level. To answer your question, I think it's effective wherever you start off. The earlier, the better. It gives you the opportunity to implement those tools more often and see those opportunities as areas for growth in wherever your leadership is, and how can I apply these tools there?
Give me a minute. Okay. Because you gave a great example, because that's where I was going to go with this. Because as I look at most kids, most
people that are put into captain roles, I don't always feel the most vocal. They understand the game. They understand how to help each other, but they aren't always the most vocal. They don't like to have the spotlight. They like to do the one-on-one mentoring with their teammates or explain something with a couple of athletes versus standing in front of the whole team and trying to motivate them to rally the team to be better. At what point did you realize that, or how do you help these athletes become these confidence? Because you said you have your three pillars. There's communication, confidence, and the first
clarity.
Clarity. Yeah. And those are huge. Great three pillars to start off, but they're huge topics. And to dive into each one, I like that you talked about you have online programs, you have in-person programs. Now, do these programs, these three pillars that you dive through, how do I describe it? Is it like a week by week progression building upon class lessons, or is it if I'm good at X, I don't need to go really start here. I want to go start with clarity, having a better understanding of something, or being present and real versus what I have in my mind. Can they like jump to different parts if they have a good comprehension, or do you have to go through an assessment before you move on? Because you talked about having assessment on these things. Mm-hmm. Really, that's huge. So I guess there's like five questions here and I don't know where to start. So let's start off with the course and then we can go into the assessment. So when you're going through the course, do they get to pick and choose modules they want to go through to have a better understanding? Or how is it structured so they can get the full picture?
Yeah, especially for the online piece, when you're going and you have the course, you're able to skip around as you would like through there. So if there's one that really calls to you, you can do that. They are in a certain order intentionally. We do always have you though start off with the leadership assessment before going into the modules. So I would say that there is flexibility to be able to, hey, this is something that's a little bit more important to me right now, or parent or coach thinks that this is more important to what I need for my development. You'll have access to the other ones as well. But we do have it in an intentional order that we recommend that students or student athletes go through so that they're able to gain the biggest benefit from the intentionality behind the programming.
So as they go through this, so you have your initial assessment and you walk through it. Is this something that you pioneered and designed, or is this something that you have, being exposed to all this different stuff, made your own little puzzle and weaved it all together? Because I know there's programs out there where you can go grab this assessment from this place and this assessment from that place. In my mind, the best ones always have been, we get the best of everything that we see and we apply it to what we're doing. Is that what you are all doing? Because I know you have a team behind you doing all this.
Yeah, no, me and my team have really looked at what are those different areas, where are the gaps that student athletes that are in this position have, and tried to pull together best practices from all different industries and then also the top research that is out there to be able to form a really impactful program where student athletes feel like they have that confidence to step into the next level of leadership or really feel confident in that role. So it's one where we've intentionally researched and looked at what's out here and how can we make this really impactful for the student athletes so that their development is one where these tools are very simple and that they can implement them immediately. A lot of times when we think about leadership and think about the big picture of like where I want to be, and earlier you talked about like the person that's motivating, right? That's the person that you always see as the leader, maybe in a movie or on TV or whatnot. That's the first person that you think of. Oh, it's this person that's hyping everyone up. They're in the middle of the circle before we go out and they're trying to get everyone ready. And I think being able to, if everyone's trying to emulate that, a lot of times that doesn't maybe work out for the individual as they would have liked. And just to share maybe a quick anecdote on that, I tried to imitate, I've done it myself. I tried to imitate the previous captain that we had on our team, and she was a Norwegian national team player, still is, and absolutely phenomenal leader, someone that I really looked up to. And she was someone that was quite vocal. She was really good at the one-on-one interactions off the field, which allowed her to do that on the field, but she was someone that was really vocal. And so I tried being a bit more vocal than I typically would be, and I grew into my own style and how I did that on the field. But as I grew into that more, it made more sense. But when I first tried it and I was doing exactly what she was doing, it came off inauthentic to me. It came off inauthentic to my teammates, and everyone was thinking, what is Anya doing? Why is she acting like that? And so I think as we're looking at it from a holistic perspective of what are our next steps and how can we implement these immediately and quickly and effectively, we want to make sure that the programming is simple so that they're able to take those next steps and make it manageable for them. If we try to implement everything at once and I try to be exactly like the former captain, that's not going to be as authentic to me. My teammates are going to see that as well, right? They might think, what is Anya doing in this scenario? And so how do we layer on these tools really intentionally so that they are able to be successful while they're implementing them?
That's amazing. So how do I describe this now? I forgot my pen, so I haven't been taking notes as good as I normally do. Sorry about that. Bad leadership right there here.
I'm good.
So now when you're going through this process with these athletes and these players, and I'm looking at it as I have an 11-year-old child and I have a friend that has a 16-year-old child, and I look at my son and he has been overlooked to be a leader, and I don't understand why. He understands the game. I have my opinion on it. I think it's his approach to people, but he's 11. Mm-hmm. And I think when I was a coach, I'm talking 5 and 6 year olds, by the way, not older kids, I think it's important for every kid to have that opportunity to just build that foundation. And as I'm listening to what you're saying and what you're doing, do you think that every youth athlete should have a chance to go through a program like this? Because I think it creates the understanding for them to take direction, and it's not coming from a place of, like you said, I have a vendetta against you. It is the place that I have to be and the role that I have to be in. Do you think it's important for athletes to have those opportunities to learn these leadership skills, even if they are not in a leadership role? Because if we have a bunch of great leaders on a team, the team can actually be more successful. You just have to have a defined leader at the end of the day be in charge. I'll stop there because I have one more question to follow up with this.
So. I think that student athletes, even if they're designated the leader or not, should go through some sort of leadership programming on how can they identify these opportunities, and then how are they viewing themselves in these roles. Like you just said, a team of leaders, we need to at least have one leader on the team. We need to have someone to go to, right? But ultimately, when the entire team is on the same page, they're all leading from where they are individually and collectively, that's ultimately going to make us more successful at the end of the day. And so when we're looking at it from that perspective of should your student athlete or your child at a young age go through it to have that opportunity, it's that development piece early on. And how can we expose them to that at a young age so that they're able to maybe identify those opportunities, but really identifying, hey, am I coming at this from a certain perspective? And is it a positive reaction from my teammate or a negative reaction from my teammate? And I think it allows them to have more self-awareness of how they're approaching those challenges or those different situations so that they are ultimately successful, right? Oh, I tried this. My teammate didn't really like how I did that, right? It felt like a good option in my mind. And maybe they were really close to what the answer is, but it needs to be tweaked in this way to have the teammate respond really well to it as well. I think a lot of stuff that we can do now is more foundational so that when they do get to those challenges, they're able to take those next steps with success.
I'm thinking through my son's season this past year, and this is why it's like he struggles. And I can only use my kid as an example. And his teammate approached him and goes, why aren't you passing me the ball? You never pass me the ball. And he turns and says to him, and he said, the teammate pulled him aside. And he goes, because you don't make good decisions. And they had this conversation. And he said, tell him, like, this is what you're doing. I don't agree with this decision because it's not setting you up for success. You need to make this decision and I'll pass you the ball. It's like listening to it as a parent, like, that's really mean. So yeah. To another kid, because I always say the frontal lobe is not fully developed until, 24. Now they're saying it's 31. And I'm sitting here listening to this for my son saying this. And like, I'm proud that he actually stood his ground and explained why. And now he does pass that kid the ball. And the kid does do what he asked. But at the same time, he was put into a circumstance because of his decision making. And him and this kid get along great. It's funny watching them talk and have their laughs. But like those moments, finding those opportunities, was that the correct approach he could have taken? I can guarantee you how he said it. Like, I can hear his words in my head as his parent describing this, describing the circumstances to us. And, but it's finding those moments. It's like, how do you, like, looking back and trying to help athletes, you're talking about an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old talking to each other.
Sure.
I can only imagine how that would go over at 16 and seven, or a 15 and a 16-year-old talking to each other, or a 17 and an 18-year-old talking together on the team. I can see it be a little bit more confrontational, but mm-hmm. like trying to teach these kids through these moments, how do you help them or assess these moments? Because at the end of the day, they are the ones that are being influenced. And then on top of this, do you work with their coaches? Because you have to work hand in hand, I'm assuming, with their coaches. And I think that's the harder hurdle might be is the coaches, because it's a time factor for them. Mm-hmm. How do you work with full parties all together? Because I'm looking at my 11-year-old son, and then I'm like thinking of his coach, and his coach has to teach these theories as best that they can. And in your case, as a college athlete, you're just thrown into it and hoping that you are the best opportunity to be successful, and you're filling the gap. And what advice do you give in those moments, or how do you bring it into a full package?
Yeah, I guess in terms of the first situation, I would start by asking a lot of really good questions to the student athlete, especially if we were doing a one-on-one in those moments, and asking about the relationship. What does that look like? What was the tone maybe right in this scenario? I think working with someone to try to figure out, was that the right decision or not? It's a lot of questions first, because obviously I wasn't there when the situation happened. And maybe next time, how would they approach it? So I think it's a bit of a, I'm not a parent, but in any situation where you're trying to figure out what happened and how you can maybe support the situation based on what you're sharing, I think that would probably be the first approach that I take prior to saying, was this right or wrong or not? Do you have a good relate? Because a lot of times, especially when we see at the older levels, some of that feedback has to be quick and it has to be now. And so if the feed, sometimes when I'm on the field, I cannot control my voice because I am tired. And so it, I think it starts with some of those relationship pieces first, understanding where that's at. And then we can take maybe those next steps and saying, was that a right decision or was that a wrong decision or not? And go from there. So I'd get, like for your first part of the question, I think that's where I would start off in working with a student athlete that comes to me with a scenario and we're working one-on-one together. In terms of the coaching side of it, I always try to, when I'm working with an entire team, I always try to ensure that the messaging of the coach is infused in what I'm doing, because they have a way that they're going about it. They have a philosophy for their team that's probably deeply rooted in the knowledge that they know about being a coach. And so how can I help to, one, share that messaging with the team, but keep the team on the path as I work individually or I work with the team beyond that? Because I'm an extension of what that is. And I think when we're looking at it from that perspective, I want to be deeply rooted in that messaging to make sure that the programming that we have makes the biggest impact for the individuals and the team as a whole, as a unit as well. So that's the approach that I typically take with coaches. I really want to understand where they're at, what their philosophy is, and the messaging that they're sharing with their team, so that we can make sure that we're aligned, but that I understand the thought process behind certain decisions. If a student athlete comes to me with something and says someone did X, Y, and Z, then I have a lot more knowledge behind that as well.
With coaches, how you say you're an extension of who they are, do the coaches have their own leadership course that you have designed for coaches to go through also with the athletes that you're working with? And then me as a parent, is there a section for parents? Because we, at the end of the day, how we raise our kids really sometimes dictate how they behave and or how they talk to people. Or sometimes I'm just taken back. I'm like, where did you learn this from? Because they learn it from school or they learn it from former teammates or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, we as parents have a huge role to play in leadership and developing them to have these skill sets. And because I will say, I have never had a leadership role. Like, I've always been an analyst or I've always reported to someone else. I have never been, quote, in a leadership role in the business world as an athlete. There was never an opportunity. We didn't have a captain when I played high school baseball, a team, and that's what it was. And I don't remember, even in wrestling, like my other sports I played, we never truly had a captain of the squad for wrestling or the baseball team. So I don't remember ever looking back and having those opportunities to have those moments to help my children. So is there coursework also for the parents to help their athletes along the way?
I think what's really impactful is that the student athlete goes, if the parent is interested in maybe taking that next step for themselves and being involved in it, I actually recommend that they do it side by side. Typically, the coaches will sit in on the sessions that we do with the athletes when we're talking about the collegiate space or even the high school space, so that they're able to understand what's being taught in terms of leadership. But they can also infuse that into what they're doing, bringing that up on more of a day-to-day basis. So I think it's actually really helpful if the parents and the coaches, if they have the time to and are interested in taking that next step for themselves, that they actually go through it side by side with the individual, or they're watching the same programming separately so that there's learning moments or teaching moments that can happen with the athlete, maybe more than I am via the online course.
But is there things that we as parents or things that coaches need to stop doing when trying to help develop leadership skills? Because I feel our society's different than maybe 30, 40 years ago when some of these coaches were athletes, or even 15 years ago and even 10 years ago. The world has evolved and society's drastically different because of information technology everyone's being exposed to. So are there things we need to stop doing to help leadership grow to be more
better? Yeah. Things that coaches and parents should stop. I think one thing that, and it's anything with when you're trying to help people make the right decision or you're trying to help them take the next step. A lot of times parents or coaches say it's easier if I tell my kid or I tell the player or the student athlete what the right answer is. And if there's time for a learning moment, I think we should stop telling them exactly what the answer is and maybe take them through a good guided discussion on what that next step should be. So I guess an example might be, instead of telling them the answer because it's easy and I can tell them in 3 seconds what that next step is and I know that they're going to be successful because I tell them exactly how to do it, maybe asking them a question back, and not sarcastically, but what do you think we should do in this scenario? And seeing what their thought and their decision-making process is with it, because I think a lot of times you can learn a lot from what they're thinking in those next steps. If you ask them, hey, is it option A or is it option B? And they answer back option A, you can tell that they're not really sure maybe what the next step is. And so you can maybe ask them a couple more questions about what are the factors that are going into this. They can list a few. Are there any that are missing? Maybe you get to add one. So I think taking them through almost like a guided decision-making process of what that next step is and allowing them to come to the answer is really important. They say that you can wait up to, I think it's 3 to 6 seconds or something like that for someone to respond if they really don't know what the next step is. If it's anywhere above 12 seconds, you're letting them sit in agony. It's a little bit too long, and then maybe you tell them the answer or get them to the next step. So I think that maybe parents or coaches should stop saying exactly what that next step is. And if there's an opportunity for a learning moment, can we ask them questions that teach them the decision-making behind what the answer is or what that next step should be?
So it's, how do I describe this? I do this with my kids, and my wife calls me out on it. I'm going to be honest. So I asked a lot of guided questions because I want them to get to an answer, but I'm not going to tell them the answer. I want them to get to the answer on their own through the questions. And I already know what the answer I want them to get to. And she goes, you're not giving them a chance to actually get to the point where they need to learn. You're giving them an indirect way of getting an answer. You're getting an indirect way of getting the answer you want versus, because I'll ask 3 to 5 questions and eventually I'll get the answer I want and I'll leave it alone. And she goes, are they really learning anything? Or are you just appeasing your own ego? As a parent, I see what she's saying because I'm not letting them self-learn. I'm guiding them to an answer. And with the world of psychology, sometimes that's the best answer because that's what you are trying to teach them. Like, yeah, that's a great answer, but there's another avenue you can go. So what's another avenue you can go? Trying to get them, do you find those guided questions sometimes to be a setup for muscle memory, for learning these things that you're trying to get them to answer? Or do you find it to be more effective to let them truly fall flat and let them go try it out, whatever their methodology or train of thought is, and then they can come back and have that conversation with you again? Because that's the clarity that you talk about, clarity. And I think a lot of clarity comes through, and we as parents and sometimes coaches don't want to see athletes go through pain that's unnecessary. And at the end of the day, it's the best learning lesson, I think.
I think if they're coming to you for everything, and it's 100% of the time they're coming to you to ask a question, and they don't have that maybe decision-making skill, then maybe that's where they have to take some steps on their own. I think if they're coming to you every once in a while, and it's those maybe challenges that are coming up, and they're like, hey, I'm not sure what to do here. This is what I've already tried. These are my next steps. Then I think you do take them through that guided decision-making process. I get what you're saying. You're getting them to the answer that you want them to get to. I think they're coming to you because maybe they don't know what the next step is. I don't want them coming to you all the time, though, as a crutch, right? Oh, instead of trying this out, I'm just going to go ask my coach or my parent to take me through this process and what the answer is. So to go back around to the beginning of it, I think there's a bit of both that needs to be done. I think you can learn, oh, maybe what are some of the questions I should ask myself to get to, if I really don't know and I don't have anyone to ask and I need to make the decision now, what are those next steps? I think the other thing with that a nice framework that maybe people could share with their kids or their student athletes as they're going through challenges and you really want them to figure it out on their own is that their next decision doesn't have to be their final decision. There's a framework from the military that says it's a 40-70 framework. And so what they say is that you discount yourself about 30% when you make a decision. So if you feel like, oh, I only have 40% of the information, but I have to make a decision, you're really probably around 70%. And when you're around 70% and you feel like you have 70% of the information, you're probably around 100%. You know what the decision is. If you wait till you get to 100% or if you wait too high to get to 70%, one, the situation or the action might have passed, right? Maybe we waited too long and we've had that paralysis of what should we say? What should that next step be? And so it feels really uncomfortable to make a decision with maybe only 40% of the information. But I think when you're looking at it from the perspective of how do I make decisions at speed without incomplete information, when maybe I don't know what my next step is, you make that first decision. And like I said earlier, your first decision doesn't have to be your last decision. And you can see how things pan out moving next. Now, you can't use that on everything. There's certain things in business. There's certain things on the field where you're like, I am for sure not going to pass the ball back right now in my 18-yard box. I'm just going to clear it out. So we're not going to try to play right now. We're going to clear it out. There's some things that you have to make the perfect decision on. And typically, it's the right one, right? With your accounting, right? You can't mess things up in that to go on to the next level. I know that was a little bit more business and a little bit more on the personal or the playing side, but I think when people are maybe, you don't maybe want to guide them to that decision, if you feel like you're maybe not letting them do it on their own, that's a really good framework for people to be able to use when they feel like they do have that paralysis of, oh, I don't know what the next step is or the next decision is. Knowing your next decision doesn't always have to be your final decision.
I like that. So as you've gone through and going through this process, I'm just looking at the time. I have a few more questions and we can wrap it up.
Okay.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I try to be really good about it.
Thanks.
As you're looking through these athletes and talking to these parents and coaches, how much do you see this trickle into the recruiting process, either for a professional team or collegiately? Mm-hmm. Do you find that these kids that have a better foundation on being leadership, have leadership skill sets and responsibility, tend to interview better, tend to have a better chance to go on to the next level, whatever it may be for these athletes? And is that a trend you're seeing, or is it something that might just be help them going off to college or entering into the world of business?
Yeah, I think the leadership skills and tools that you maybe learn through this programming with Captains University and what you learn through sport are going to apply to any area of your life. And I've had that experience being where I'm at now versus being on a team and competing as a student athlete. I think the flip side of it is when we're looking at it from, okay, what does that actual impact look like? The Women's Sports Foundation recently put out a statistic that they were able to measure that women that played in the high school or collegiate space, ultimately 93% of them ended up, or excuse me, flip this around, excuse me, 93% of people in the C-suite level for women played sports at some point in their lives, whether it's at the high school or the collegiate age. And so I think the effect of one sport, being on a team, knowing when you need to lead, knowing when you need to follow, going through something that can help you have more self-awareness and situational awareness of maybe leadership opportunities around you. I know that's just one statistic, but I think ultimately it helps individuals in the long run of their goals, what's next for them after sport, and ultimately, you know, it permeates across all areas, right? Sport, maybe your next step in college if you're not playing sport, or your next step in the professional landscape, and then even with your family and friends as well. There's a lot of tools that you can use there. Being a great communicator is always one of them. So yes, I believe that learning something like this or having these experiences early on in your life helps to permeate into the other areas as well.
So where can we find all of your information so parents and coaches can reach out to go through your program, or if they want more information, or just to hear you come in and talk to their athletes or coaches or whatever it may be for programs?
Yeah, we have a website, captainsuniversity.com, captains with the S, university.com. And then we are on LinkedIn, Instagram, and most of the social medias that you can think of with that same handle, Captains University. If you're interested in learning more about the programming, we do have a contact form on our website that will go through to our team, and we're happy to give you more information on what you might be looking for. If it's, like you said, coming in to talk to a team or just learning more about how you can use the programs effectively that we have at Captains University. I do have one more resource if people want to listen on Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We have a podcast called More Than an Armband, where we interview former captains and leaders for sports teams on some of their biggest experiences and moments. And that's been really a helpful resource for individuals as well. So if you'd love to learn more, one of our most recent guests was Becky Sarbrunn. And so if you're into women's soccer, on the women's soccer side, she's a great one to listen to.
Awesome. My last question, and it's my favorite question, because you have three different sides you've been part of, or I guess two, really, but probably more than, in my head, it's three. So you have you as an athlete, you as a captain, you as an entrepreneur, and I'm not going to call it a mentor also.
Sure.
Four. It can be multiple different people. It doesn't have to be one person, but you can go through each one. And if you need to repeat them, I will as you go through it. Right?
Okay.
We have people of success. Either they look inward and that's what drives them, or it is what I call their family or community that has really raised them to be where they're at. So this is a chance to give all those people a shout out and give them love or kudos, whatever you want to call it, in this moment.
Awesome. So starting out with the player side, someone that I always looked up to, something So me as a player, I always looked up to Shannon Box when I was in my collegiate interview or touring different colleges. That was something that the coach at UC Berkeley, Neil McGuire, had asked me. I shared with him my dreams to be on the national team. And he said, who do you think you play? And it was Shannon Box. So I think that's someone that I grew up watching the LA Soul and the WPS and a lot of those teams. So that was someone that I always looked up to and that I aspired to be like. So that was maybe as the player side of it. She was a holding center midfielder also. The next one was a captain or a leader.
Yes.
For me, I mentioned her a little bit, but she plays for the full Norwegian national team and is a player for, I might say the team name on Wolfsburg in Germany. And she was always someone that I looked up to. She was a very close friend of mine while I was on the team. We actually played the same position as well. And so she was someone that really mentored and I felt guided me and had the perfect amount of being tough and keeping you accountable, as well as being a really great person and a great friend. So that was someone as a leader that I looked up to, especially thinking about my own leadership and how I would potentially step into that role, and obviously a great player as well. So that was someone that I looked up to when I was taking on the leadership role or as a captain.
As a mentor and an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur and a mentor. Let's see. My dad's run his own business since I could remember. And so some of that maybe spirit got passed down to me, but just his work ethic and everything that he does with his organization is something that's very inspiring to me, and I get to ask some great questions. And I'm very grateful for his advice on the entrepreneurship and more about running a business and what that looks like. So from the business perspective, entrepreneur perspective, it would be my dad. And then the mentorship side, great mentor for me. There's so many. This one's a hard one. I think great mentor for me, like I said, there's been so many. I think a lot of the coaches that I had growing up and then in the collegiate space, especially, and then even now, there's a lot of great ones. To name a few, some of my early club coaches, Frank Zimmerman, Jose Ocampo, Colin Chester, Zeta Greenwood, Sean Gainey. Those are all people that I played for in club. And then collegiately, Neil McGuire, Chris LeMay, Austin Reisenhoover, John, and then at Portland, a lot of other people, Michelle. I think I there's not one person that I could pick out. I think I learned so much from each one of those people throughout my entire life, and very grateful that I had the opportunity to play for them, because I think that influenced a lot of where I am now. And then I think the last piece is my family. They've been there for me through everything, constantly supported me from a mentorship perspective and helped me to have that resilience to keep going when times were tough. And so I hope I pass all that knowledge and wisdom and feeling on to the student athletes that I mentor as well.
What I keep coming back to after this conversation is how much we expect out of our players. Without ever really showing them what to do. We want them to lead. We want them to communicate. We want them to handle pressure, teammates, and tough moments. But most of the time, we just hand them the responsibility and hope they figure out. What Anya's doing and what we talked through across both parts is actually giving structure to something that usually is left to chance. And if you really think about it, this goes way beyond soccer. This is how kids learn to carry themselves, make decisions, handle people, all of it. So yeah, this one sticks with you a little bit. A big thank to Anya for coming on and sharing it.
This podcast, I've enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there. Please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.